How many amendments are there to the U.S. Constitution?
27th Amendment. When you take what you took from me. When you take
what you took from me. When you take what you took from me. Could you have answered that question? The suspicion that not many of us could, that the Constitution and the courts that rule on it are not well understood by we the people, is what got the folks at Radiolab to create the More Perfect podcast. And they've done something really special for its third season, an album with songs about all 27 of those amendments to the U.S. Constitution. Plus, there are liner notes online to read. And in the podcast episode, the first four of which have dropped, you also get those liner notes. Now, every day during this membership drive, we're being joined by one of the More Perfect producers to talk about the words and music to a different amendment. And today I'm joined by More Perfect producer Sarah Khari, who was once a Brian Lehrer Show intern makes good, local girl makes good. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, it's so awesome to be on the show.
So can you start by reading the 26th Amendment?
Sure can. It goes, "The right of citizens of the United States who are 18 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of age."
And the backstory on this amendment has to do with the Vietnam War?
Yeah, it does. So a lot of people, especially young people during the war, were really upset that they could be drafted to fight in the war at age 18. But in a lot of states, they weren't able to vote until 21. And so that kind of yielded this slogan, old enough to fight, old enough to vote. And then you have it, in 1971, the 26th Amendment was ratified, and it lowered the voting age in all elections everywhere.
Let's hear a little bit of the song for this amendment by Suburban Living. You might not have been able to make out those lyrics so well, but that was saying, you say I'm old enough to fight, but when that battle comes every November, I'm on the other side. You are deciding our lives. As we talk about the 26th Amendment with Radiolab producer Sarah Khari. And I see, Sarah, it was ratified in less time than any other amendment?
Yeah, I think just the sort of political pressure and the in the movement surrounding the Vietnam War, I think that that definitely contributed to that amendment having that kind of momentum.
Which is kind of amazing considering how divided we think of the country as having been over the Vietnam War itself. People came together on at least the 18-year-olds having a vote. Another line in the song, maybe we'll play it on the way out, reads, "So we took it to the streets. I felt the summer and the heat, holding out on one last hope, old enough to fight, old enough to vote." That hints at yet another reason this was a popular cause. There was a thought that if 18-year-olds could vote, they wouldn't have street protest as their only means of engaging in civic life.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how that kind of sentiment of young people wanting to be enfranchised is playing out nowadays. The story that I'm working on that's coming out soon on the podcast has to do with now 16-year-olds wanting to be part of the political process and lower the voting age to 16.
And if the argument for 18 back then was 18-year-olds could be drafted and sent to Vietnam, what's the argument for 16 today?
So it's sort of, the argument has gained a lot of traction post-Parkland with all the youth activism coming out of that, where a lot of 16-year-olds are saying, you know, we're very directly invested in a lot of political issues like gun rights and education. And not only that, we are, in other ways, we are like full members of society where we are working and we're paying income tax on those jobs. And I spoke to a youth activist who was really passionate about this and kind of made those arguments to me.
And this has been tried a little bit in a few places, right?
Yes. So there are some places where it's been tried out on the municipal level. So you have Tacoma Park and Hyattsville, two cities in Maryland that have allowed 16-year-olds to vote in the local elections. And more recently, in Washington, D.C., there's an effort to have a bill passed there where 16-year-olds would be allowed to vote not only in local elections, but actually for the president.
I wonder if it's considered a way to tamp down political activism like it was in the 70s. It's quite interesting to look back at the Senate notes attached to the bill and have it there on paper that, yeah, if 18-year-olds could vote, then they might not be out protesting that much.
And they might not cause so much trouble.
It's the only time I've ever heard of granting somebody enfranchisement as a way of reducing their civic engagement.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think nowadays it seems like the lawmakers that are in favor of enfranchising teenagers are sort of looking to empower them even further. Like, they're already taking this stance and having a voice in society on all of these political issues, and giving them the vote would kind of further that.
And New York State, what we should mention, was the second to last state in the nation, North Carolina is still out there, I think, to raise the age to 18 for criminal responsibility, to default to trying kids in the criminal justice system who are under 18 as adults. They just got everyone under 18 off Rikers the other week. So these movements, in a way, are going in two different directions, saying we're 16 and therefore old enough to vote versus we're only 16. We only have adolescent brains, so we can't be criminally responsible.
Yeah, I think that it definitely seems like a contradiction. I do think a lot of people who advocate for lowering the voting age would argue that in the criminal justice system, it has to do with ideas of rehabilitation and lowering recidivism rates and youth like facing danger in prisons, whereas with voting, it comes to more like reasoned decisions, which they're psychologically capable of.
And we have to leave it there.